We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Get the Hillman Morning Show on demand. Podcasts and more are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
Britt, let's bring Mike Kaplan in here because we all want to laugh. And Mike Kaplan headlining Laugh Boston coming up on January 12th through the 14th. And of course, I don't know, do you want him positioned there for camera purposes? And of course,
good to see you, Mike.
Thanks for having me.
His Netflix special is called Small, Dork, and Handsome.
That's true.
Now, Danielle might not say that you're a dork. I don't know. I don't know.
We'll have to let the personality evolve.
Yeah.
So we can make the
I'm fine for people to make their own assessments of who I am.
Okay.
What is the definition of a dork?
Is it
an inappropriate word in this country at this time?
I mean, anyone can call themselves anything. If somebody, like, for you to call somebody else something is rude, but if somebody's like, call me this, I mean, even then, like, I have a friend who's like a lesbian.
Yeah.
She is exactly a lesbian. She's a comedian, and she was on stage, and she's like, look, so I have this short hair. Cut. It makes me look like a lesbian, and right? And she like asked the audience, and the audience is like,
and I don't like, get thrown out.
She's like, no. I know I look like one. I'm saying you can agree with me. And we're like, you can say it, but if we agree, it's like a hate crime. So, I can. I mean, I also don't care. If you want to call me not a dork, I accept.
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, also dorks are fine. It's fine. Do whatever. Be anything.
What makes you a dork?
I mean, in school, I guess it's social awkwardness is probably the first thing that, you know, maybe being smart also, but that's maybe more of, if you want to get technical, a nerd thing. It's probably more of a nerd thing to discriminate between the differences of, you know, a dork, a nerd, and a geek, and, a twerp, you know, some sort of, like, all these things. I didn't do my dissertation on this, but...
You should have.
If I would, then I would have been, graduated from dork to nerd.
Right.
So,
a nerd would do a dissertation on it. Yeah. A dork just talks about it.
I don't know.
With his dork buddy.
Probably.
Yeah. Did you have one dork buddy? Like, usually there's like a group of dorks.
At this point, I'm a man of the people. I can talk to the dorks. I can talk to anybody else who'll let me.
How was your relationship with the athletes growing up in school?
I mean, you know, it was definitely, I think I was just afraid in high school. I just started at this school and I didn't know the other kids around. So there were like, you know, people were like much bigger than me. Like I'm only 5'6" now. And like when I remember in eighth grade, there were like gigantic kids, and I was like, I think I'm in the wrong place. Like, you know, sometimes when you're driving and you're in a car and there's just like monster trucks, you know, just like massive semis, and you're like, I don't know if this is the right highway. And so that's like what my high school life was like. So I'm just like, oh, people are going to step on me. But mostly people were just doing their own thing. But I lived in fear, but as it turns out, they might have been just as afraid of me, but maybe they weren't. We didn't talk about it.
Do you have trouble, you know, being 5'6"? We often talk on this show about dating and about people not wanting to date somebody who is shorter than them. Has that been an issue for you?
No, there's too many people that want to date me, so it's a nice filter to have.
It's no problem.
No, I mean, sincerely, I mostly have dated people who are, there are still, I think, billions of people who are shorter than I am, and I've dated most of them.
Okay, so you want to date somebody shorter than you.
I would assume. I don't care. If they don't care, then I don't care. I just got out of a relationship a couple months ago, so I'm not seeing like one person specifically right now. Also, the relationship was open. I don't have time to get into all this, but
wait a minute. Open relationship?
Oh yeah.
Very interesting.
Oh yeah. I just don't see that over the course of, you know, I was married 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was a serial monogamist for most of my 20s. I would just, you know, date a person for a year, date a person for 2 years. And, you know, you get all the good stuff. And then after a year, you're like, well, that's those chemicals are gone. And sometimes you stop dating them and sometimes you keep dating them. And you're like, well, this is how it works. But then eventually I was just like, I'd like to have one partner potentially, or somebody that I can build a life with, but also recognize that we're going to both be attracted to other people. And especially given that, like, I sometimes, you know, I travel about half the time. So most of the times when I'm in a relationship now, it's like an, you know, an honest, communicative, open relationship where if I'm away and like we live together, like she can do whatever she wants while I'm gone. I can do whatever I want while I'm gone. Yeah. And, you know, we love each other more for it.
Now, do you think you'll that the two of you will get back together so you have somebody to take to the new Star Wars film?
That's a fair question. I'll just go with one of my dork buddies.
Did she care that you had a lot of dork buddies? Or
No. I mean, she was one of them.
She was a dork. Yeah. Oh, so women can be a dork.
They definitely can. I mean, like, we're in a new age where anyone can identify however they want. Yeah, I think she would definitely. I mean, I think the prettier, you know, the more objectively or conventionally, like, good-looking a lady is in our society, the less people are willing to agree that they're a dork. Like, you're not a dork. You're hot. But she was a hot dork.
Yeah. She was a hot dork.
Are dorks in the bedroom, like... Do you keep like one sock on, or do you wear a hat?
I mean, I think the way that probably dorkery plays out in the bedroom is like through, like, you know, toys and kinks and that sort of thing. Like, I think that, you know, the same way, like, you know, maybe if you have role playing games in high school, like that becomes, you know, role playing games in the bedroom, you know, with you know, sort of handcuffs and
Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, exactly. I would identify as a dragon and she would be a dungeon. I would enter the dragon, you know, and so I would be Bruce Lee, and she would be...
Nice obscure reference.
I appreciate. Anyway, so the point is, I've gone on some dates with a girl who's 6 feet. That's all I was trying to say.
Yeah. Well, no, I think it's a thing more for women than it is for men. So when it comes up on the show, believe it or not, there are a lot of women who feel insecure if they're dating a guy who's shorter than them. They feel, I don't know if it's insecure, I guess they feel uncomfortable. Uncomfortable with the height difference or something
I believe it. I mean, the first girl that I ever kissed when I was like 16 was...
When you were 30?
Yes, she was 16, I was 30. I mean, I was 16, she was 30. Everything was legal and fine.
Yes.
No, we were both about like 15, 16, and it was at summer camp, and she was, she's now like 6'4". Like, I met her, I didn't see her for like 20 years, but she came to a show last year, like, and she was like, remember me? And I was like, I looked up, and I was like, oh, yeah, definitely. I remember this view at your stomach. But yeah, she was, and that was actually, I think, one of the reasons why we only, like, sort of, you know, quote unquote dated at this summer camp for only like a couple weeks, because she was like really tall for her age and just for a person in general. And that was one of the things that did make her uncomfortable. But it's the only, I think it's what worry about what other people think. And that's for my whole life. I realize that I am different in a lot of ways than what, you know, what you're quote unquote supposed to be, what society wants you to be, what, like, the ways that, you know, you're meant to live your life. Even just being a comedian, people are like, you know, you just grow up, you meet one person, you marry them, you have children, you get a job, you eat meat, you do all these things. Like, and I'm like, I don't want to do any of that, you know? So, I can't waste my time worrying about what people are judging me for. Like, people are certainly going to judge, but so I need to be with people who also don't care. Like, you know, a tall person who doesn't mind, you know, like, picking me up.
What, like carrying you around?
Like a baby.
I'm running around all day, you know, like when I come home, I just want to be swaddled.
I believe there's an obscure reference from Revenge of the Nerds where they say nerds are good at sex. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, it's...
They have to be. How else would they survive?
That's true. Right. Yeah, the race would be...
We must be good at something.
Yeah. Dorks make more dorks. That's how it's got to roll.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, rabbits, you know, they're cute little things. Like, how do they, you know, like, they must get, you know, murdered so frequently. They're not good fighters, but they just have sex in such high quality and quantity.
Yeah, that's true. They're really
rabbits of humanity.
Yes, dorks. Well, the Netflix special is called Small Dork and Handsome, and you have a stand-up album coming out
in a couple months. End of January, early 2017. A new album, mostly about how I don't want kids, and it's called No Kidding.
No kidding. And now Danielle goes back and forth. She decided a while ago that she didn't want kids.
Yep.
But are you waffling on that, or what's your
current... I'm open to it. I'm just not actively pursuing it.
Why do you not want kids?
I mean, there's so many great reasons to not want kids. I mean, number one, I think I just don't have, you know, if you have in within you, you're like, oh, that, you know, the biological evolutionary drive, then great, then maybe have kids.
Right.
If you don't, if you're, so many people just do it. I mean, either half of pregnancies are accidental, so
elephant in the room, kid.
All of his.
Yeah. How many you have?
30. He's got 30 of them.
Who can say?
Well, I've got three wives. Let's just put it on. Two ex, one current.
So that's good. Not all at once. I mean, I recommend having them all at once. Then they can help each other out, raise the kids, you know. But, I mean, I guess it's a lot. I don't know if you guys know, it's a lot of work to have kids. Like, it just takes a lot of specific energy. And if I had them, I would want to, you know, do it right. But also just creating a new consciousness was a thing that I was like, oh, like, I don't even know what's going to happen in my life or in life in general. It's sort of like recommending a movie to somebody, like when you're halfway through it, you're like, this is great. You're like, I have no idea how it ends. You know, like, our bodies will fall apart, our minds could fall apart, and you're potentially condemning somebody else to that. I mean, you know, I do like life, but also have no idea what the second half of it's about.
Right.
So you would be condemning your children to experiencing your life.
I mean,
if is what your fear was.
Potentially. I mean, my life is also pretty good. Like, I'm very fortunate for all the things that I've gotten to do and, like, the way that my brain chemistry is. Like, I feel not...
You like to sleep in. Can we just be honest?
Right?
You know kids, people. You want to sleep. You want to be able to take naps and you want to be able to sleep. That's all it is.
That is certainly one of the things. I'm not saying that there aren't things that... I mean, there are things that are worth waking up in the morning for. I'm here right now.
Yeah.
But,
and brunch.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, this is one? This is one of the...
I mean, this is in the morning.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys know, we're in the morning right
like
now.
Having to do something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I suppose when you're doing stand-up, it might not lend itself to being around the family all the time, being serious for a second. So it may be harder, I guess.
I mean, there are definitely people who, if you're on the road all the time, you know, you're not necessarily going to, unless you're taking your kid with you. Like, there are some, you know, sort of famously, like, you know, couple comedians who, like, you know, Rich Voss and Bonnie McFarlane have a kid, and, you know, they, I think, bring their, you know, obviously they go to travel together, they bring their kid with them. So that could be fun, but also, you know, who knows? You have to, everybody gets to decide for themselves, like, the way that they live their life. Hopefully, unless you have other things, you know, thrust upon you. But, like, I've definitely dated some women that at certain points I was like, oh, I could see having a family with this person if under the right circumstances. So I'm not ruling it out forever. Mm-hmm. I'm just ruling it out for right now, and then tomorrow I'll rule it out for then, and then the next day for then. And I'll just rule it out one day at a time until one day I don't.
Well, it's pretty tough to slay dork chicks on the road if you got a kids.
If you have a wife, kids and a wife.
Oh, no. Chicks love kids. Yeah. It's like having a dog at the park. People are like, oh, who's this? Where's the mother? I'm like, she's at home, but it's fine. It's open relationship. It's great.
Open relationship, no problem. There used to be a lot of, you reminded me of, like in the 50s, there were a lot of husband-wife comedy duos.
Oh, sure.
Like the Stillers. Right?
Definitely. Yeah.
And who else was, who am I thinking of?
Well, there's Nichols and May.
Yes. That was like an interesting thing.
You know, so that was Mike Nichols and Elaine May. My name is Mike and my wife's name was Elaine.
Really?
So we're different people than those guys, though.
Who are I hope so. What made you get into comedy? What, like, who were your influences?
Well, I loved, I mean, Mitch Hedberg was my favorite probably for a long, long
Danielle's
time.
Danielle's favorite.
Love but Mitch.
Awesome. I also didn't know much comedy until I was doing comedy. I was pursuing music originally. Like, my parents were music teachers. I played the violin and hated it as a child.
Whoa.
And,
dork.
I was, my parents made me.
Were you in the band?
Orchestra.
The orchestra. So you were playing the violin.
You know, bands are cool. Orchestras are
dorky.
Yes. Dorkestras.
Well, same with Dorkestra, the violin. Yes, electric violin in a country band. You're awesome.
Oh, yeah. But that wasn't what I was doing. but no, then in high school, I taught myself how to play the guitar, and I loved it, and I started writing songs. And then when I was in school in Boston, I just was looking for places to perform music around the city. And one of the places I found among all the other, like, sort of music venues was the Comedy Studio at the Hong Kong and Harvard Square. And they had just sort of started. You know, they've been there, like, over 20 years now.
Yeah.
But this was, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s, mm-hmm. and they were like, sure, come over, you know, you can do 7 minutes, and so I came and I just played a couple of the funny songs that I had, and I just kept going back and doing that, and then in the middle of the songs, I would talk for a little bit, and then little by little, I was like, oh, this is maybe I don't want to carry the guitar. I got into comedy because I wanted to stop carrying a guitar around, mostly.
Have you watched when stand-up stood out?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it great?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I love, obviously, like, you know, starting here. I think the first comedian that I ever saw was actually, before I did comedy, really, was DJ Hazard. He came to Brandeis when I was there, and he was the first person. Like, I'd seen some, you know, famous stand-ups on TV. Like, I'd seen, like, Norm Macdonald or, like, people on Saturday Night Live or Paul Reiser or Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm. But Dana Carvey.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that, like, all those guys' specials that were, like, funny to me, but DJ, like, maybe partially because it was live, but partially just because his brain was, like, you know, weird in this way that really resonated with mine. Like, he said things that actually connected to my own experiences. Like, I love Paul Reiser's book Couplehood, but it had nothing to do with my, like, you know, you know when your bride is the only person who, you know, can help you find food in your teeth? I'm like, I imagine.
I guess. Right?
But DJ would say things, and I was like, I was like dying. It was in this coffee shop, this coffee house at Brandeis that was in this castle that I don't think it's even there anymore because they were doing illegal things, serving food that they weren't supposed to. You know, it's a castle. What do you want?
Yeah.
It's back in medieval times. But I remember it was just like it wasn't tons of people there, but I was just lost in just, I didn't know that laughing could be like so just visceral, and it was just amazing. So that was, but even then, I just still wanted to be a musician. I was like, wow, that guy's amazing. I didn't even know it was a thing. I didn't know comedy was a thing.
Well, he also used, which you probably appreciated, used music.
He did.
But it brought the guitar out.
Definitely.
And a very, very, very funny guy. But if you, if you get a chance, if you're a fan of comedy or you're interested in the Boston comedy scene, watch When Standout Stood Out. Because it's really, really interesting. And you look at, you know, we have a lot of, since I've been on the air for decades, unfortunately, meaning I'm old, a lot of people like Lenny Clark and
Kenny
Dennis
Rogerson.
Leary.
Yeah,
the Viper.
All those guys.
Stephen Wright getting on The Tonight Show was captured. Yeah.
Apparently, I'm getting text messages that the castle is still there.
Oh, the castle's there, but I don't think the coffee shop is still there.
What were they serving that was a problem?
I think they were serving food without a
permit?
I think that's what it was.
Big crime over there at Brandeis?
Absolutely.
Yes. Trying
to get away with things. Real sneaky. I also literally don't know if anything that I'm saying is true. But I did hear that they stopped being a coffee shop.
Oh, okay.
That's all,
everybody.
Sneakers.
Okay. Yep.
That's it. Besides here, where's your favorite city to play?
I love going to Portland, Oregon. That's one of my favorite places. They've got, I'm vegan, and they have like rules that you have to have bars open in the nighttime. Like they have to have certain food available. And there's almost always like food that I can eat all over the city. So I guess I just like being able to survive. And that's a good thing. And Portland has, I don't know if you guys know, the most bookstores per capita and strip clubs per capita.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's an interesting place.
The Northwest is an interesting place.
I love Portland. I love performing at this club in Minneapolis called Acme. That's one of the best clubs that I've ever been to. I love Denver. I'm going there in a couple weeks to a place called the Comedy Works. Austin, I'll be there for New Year's Eve. Like I'm actually getting to go to a few of my favorite places. San Francisco, I love. Athens, Atlanta.
Okay.
Danielle went vegan for a week.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It was like two days.
We're all vegan all night while we sleep. You know what I mean?
That's true. Like, that's very true.
Now I lay me down to vegan.
Yeah.
But don't you ever?
I'm raw till 4 a.m.
Don't you ever crave like a juicy red tenderloin? Like, don't you ever want? Don't you ever say, you know, today's
is this vegan bullying?
Today,
don't you ever want to just punch somebody in the face? Don't you ever just want to slit somebody's throat? Don't you ever want somebody just bleed out in front of you? You just want to have that visceral human caveman reaction. We all want it.
You're triggering me over here. But you never get a craving for a burger.
I mean, there's all.
Be honest.
Honestly, there's so many things in. We can't have all the experiences in life. There's so many things. Like, food isn't the most important thing to me, which is one of the reasons. Like, I have other, you know, cares and interests and, you know, hobbies. And the amount of time that I spend eating is, you know, maybe an hour a day, 2 hours a day. That's much.
Oh, that's it?
I mean, maybe I'm not doing it right.
That's why I'm 290 pounds.
That's the problem.
I spend like seven, 8 hours.
That's the problem.
Swapping myself.
Yeah, certainly. certainly I do remember enjoying. So, I mean, the thing is, people are like, aren't you missing all of these things? But I actually didn't eat that many different things, like, growing up, you know, until I was in college, like, around 19. I ate, you know, mostly, like, burgers, hot dogs, pizza, yeah, you know, like, just
the good stuff,
quote-unquote, yeah, normal things.
Yeah. Chow Daddy commercial.
Then when I became vegetarian, I was like, I found that there was, like, interesting, like, other, you know, like, Ethiopian food and Cambodian food,
oh,
Vietnamese
stop.
Food.
I hate when you yeah. people say that.
I mean,
it tastes just like a burger.
I'm not saying
tofu tastes just like
I'm not
meat.
Saying that tofu tastes like a burger. I am saying that, like, everything on, like, an Ethiopian menu, like, the spices are the same. Like,
yeah,
the general flavors.
The flavors are the same.
And
yeah,
there are amazing vegan substitutes for things, but also I do just like vegetables. Like, I mean, I like yeah. eating. Right. Things that, I mean, those things, definitely my, I understand that, like, I used to love cheesecake, you know, and I yeah. don't eat cheesecake anymore. Mm-hmm. There are, vegan desserts actually are, like, one of the things that I think are the best, like, fake versions of things. Yeah. There's, have you guys been to FOMU? There's a place, it's actually not far from here.
Yeah.
It's near Grasshopper. There's, like, you know, Grasshopper's yeah. a vegan restaurant in Alston, and right next door to it, or a couple doors down, there's, like, a you know, an all-vegan ice cream place, and it's yeah. made of, like, cat, I think, like, coconut, and, like,
it's made
cashew
of cat?
Cream.
That doesn't yeah. sound right.
Yeah.
That doesn't
like,
sound
really mean cat. Vegans hate cats.
Oh, vegans hate cats. Yeah. Yeah.
It's cashew yeah. and coconut, I think, and different kinds of nuts. Yeah, and just good. Like, it's delicious. Like, they, I don't know what they're doing.
What is it, like cashew milk that
yeah.
they make? The, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
So do you, like, on a Friday, do you say, wow, I have a real hankering for a kale salad?
I wouldn't say hankering. great question. I mean, no, but yeah. I do like kale salads, but I also yeah. like, I mean, I love, like, ramen. I love, you know, sort of Asian yeah. soups. I like yeah. vegetable sushi. I wow. like there's tons of, you know, there's technology improving vastly. It's funny. I was talking to a buddy who, like, on a podcast, and he was like, you don't know what you're missing. And I'm like, well, I do actually. I ate meat for 19 years, so you don't know what you're missing because you haven't done what I'm doing. And he's like, ah, we're doing meat differently now. And I actually don't think that's true, but I do think that vegetarian technologies and vegan technologies have, because they need to survive. Like,
right.
I do remember, like, 10 years ago having a vegan cheesecake that was literally just, like, a triangle of tofu, and they're like, we got the shape right, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
And yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Emphasis on the try and triangle. Yeah. And but now I honestly, like, I don't need to convince anybody. But I mean, the reason that I'm doing it is not to have everything taste good. I'm doing it to for all, you know, the reasons it's good for the planet, the environment. It's good for me, my health. It's mainly the reason is that, you know, there's factory farms that treat. I mean, most people are like, oh, animals, like, let me just not think about it. You know, like,
yeah,
you,
yeah.
people see videos or read the books or watch the movies or learn the things about, like, sort of the unnecessary torture that's going on. Like, those are things that people are like, oh yeah, I wish mm-hmm. that wouldn't. I was like that in high school. I was like, oh boy, it'd be better if that didn't happen, but I don't know how to not keep doing what I've been doing, so
yeah.
I will keep doing
yeah.
it. So, but yeah, I didn't come here to talk about that. I dated a 6-foot woman. let's get back to that.
I made her orgasm.
Well, yes.
A really tall orgasm.
Well, coming
for
up
a long, long time.
January 12th through the 14th at Laugh Boston. It's Mike Kaplan, and the album comes out in 2017.
Yeah,
is that
yeah.
true?
Yeah, late January, early February.
Awesome,
no,
man.
No
kidding.
That's
yeah.
cool.
And
thank you very much.
There's a Netflix special which is called Small, Dork, and Handsome.
There is. And
all right.
Which is why we talked about all these
yeah.
things.
Yes, uh-huh. yes. Well,
thanks
great.
So much for having me on.
Great to have you here, and we'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.